Hey, good morning. Isn't it just awesome to be in this place and to feel His presence, to know that hope and love and joy came down at Christmas time? I don't want to get ahead of myself and everything else, but I just want to be obedient to the Lord while we all stand and bask in His presence in this place. And, you know, I think the angels teach us something in that moment. They showed up and they appeared to the shepherds. Now, I imagine if I was a shepherd, I'd be pretty freaked out, right? The heavens open up and these heavenly hosts are there and they're singing and they're praising God and they're telling the shepherds what has taken place in Bethlehem, right? And then it goes on to say that after they tell them to go and see, it says they have a little bit of a hallelujah breakdown there in the skies, right? Because the angels understood what had come down. The angels understood who had come down, right? And they couldn't contain themselves. They couldn't hold it in, knowing what man, you and me, not just a bunch of shepherds on a hill, but what you and me had been given, right? And I think when we look at that and we take it in its context and we realize that the angels were saying to us, behold, behold what has been done and what has been given, it should rock our worlds. It should blow our minds. It should crush our spirits. And it should bring us in to a desire and a wanting of Him like nothing ever. Let's just shut our eyes. Let's just shut our eyes for a second and let's just think about that moment. But let's forget the shepherds. Let's forget the shepherds for a minute. Let's put ourselves on that hillside. Let's put ourselves on that hillside and let's think for a minute the angel is speaking to us because they are. Amen. Let's think they're speaking to us because they are. And let's hear them announce that Jesus has come. Let's hear them know. And let's know in our heart that Jesus has come. And because Jesus has come, now all that He is, all that He brings, all that He has is given unto us. Find yourself there. Find yourself there in that moment, in that place, and take it in. Take it in because it's in Scripture for our learning. It's in Scripture for our understanding. It's in Scripture for us to understand that it wasn't just the shepherds. It was for Jay. And it was for you. So claim that moment. Claim that moment. Claim that place. Claim that power, claim that glory, claim that healing, claim everything that Jesus brought right then, because it was given unto you. Father, what a moment. What an opportunity You gave us on that hillside to understand for a split second and for the rest of our lives that You brought heaven down to us in the form of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that, Lord, You placed Him in a manger, in a stall, in a stable, in Bethlehem, so that I didn't have to earn it, so that I didn't have to prove myself worthy. But I believe You did it right then and right there, so that whosoever will, forever and ever and ever and ever, would know that You came for them. It doesn't require a huge resume, and it doesn't require anything of grand skill or nature. But God, you came to deliver us from our own doing, from our own flesh, from our own thoughts, that we might walk and that we might be found in your glory. And so, Father, we just praise you. We just praise you. We just lift our hands to you and praise you for coming unto us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Kids Club is dismissed. Isn't it great that we can have our kids in here? Huh? Isn't it great that we can do that? And isn't it great that we're not so absorbed at any level or end that we can't handle that? Now, y'all didn't hear me, huh? Go on, isn't it good that we can handle that, right? That we walk in the maturity of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we can know that He says, let the children come to Him, and not just box them away somewhere. Amen? Aren't we glad He's that big? Amen? And I'm thankful for that. I appreciate it when the kids' club leaders came to us and said, hey, we really need some kind of worship and we want to be in service. And I'm like, let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's have kids out here and let's worship and introduce them to the things that God wants to do in their life right now. Not years later, but that He wants to do in their life right now. And I think that's probably one of the biggest responsibilities we have. As a church, we have nursery, we have kids' club, we have all of those things if it's needed. Okay, but I believe we can be one big happy family if we choose to be. Amen. And so that's a privilege and a hope that we're given. I did forget an announcement. See, Bethany, me too, right? I blow it as well. And so not that you ever blowed it. I didn't mean that. I'm not saying that at all. Okay, I'm not. I really, truly didn't mean that. But I did forget a really important announcement. We've been working on our website. I think a lot of you know. If you haven't seen it lately, go check it out, thepulsewv.com. Check it out. It's looking really good. They've done a lot of good things and everything on there. It's not done yet, so you know, don't start sending me texts saying, hey, this looks like this. Yeah, we know. There's still some things in progress. But do check it out. It's looking really good. But several of you, and I'd really hope to say this before we're on camera and blah, 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 but it is what it is. A lot of you had texted me over the last couple of weeks saying that the online giving was down and you couldn't do your tithes and offerings and everything else like you normally do. It's back up. It's back up. It's there live and fully functional. So you can go to the website and do like you always did. So that's over. So we're going to come and get right into our message this morning. We're bringing to a close our His Glory sermon series this morning. And we've thought about a lot of stuff, and you know, it seems like I do a lot of sermon series, and it's kind of weird because I've never been a sermon series preacher in the past, but it just seems like that's kind of how God orchestrated things as we began to start this, and before you know it, I had like 10 sermon series outlined, and some of them we haven't even got to yet, and He sends other ones while we're in the midst of this, so it kind of seems the way just God's working in me right now, and so forth, but I don't usually like to take Him to 5 weeks like we did this one, but God just kind of worked it that way, but I think it's so important, because as we think about that night on a hillside, and we think about the glory of God, and how magnificent, I don't think there are really, truly adjectives in this flesh to describe how incredible that night was. And my English teacher back here is shaking her head and agreeing with me, so I feel good about that. And when we think about that moment, I think we are truly called to His glory. And we are truly called to a place to where, for us to really get it, for us to really walk in it, for us to walk in this idea of Christianity, it starts with understanding the glory of God. If we see it as anything less, if we see it as a get-out-of-hell-free card, right, then that's all it will ever be, and it might not even really come to fruition in that, because we don't really understand the price that was paid to get us out of hell-free, right? And so for us to understand the full extent of the glory of God, we take advantage of all of the things that we get from the glory of God, it starts with understanding who Jesus is, amen, not who he was, because he left heaven and came down to earth, it doesn't mean that he gave up any authority. It doesn't mean that he gave up any power. It doesn't mean that he gave up any of his glory. Amen? But what it means is he brought all of his glory to us. It brought all of his power to us. He brought all that he was in the splendors of heaven. He brought all of that to here, to me, and to you. Amen? And we've got to get that and understand that and walk in that and live in that. And the more we walk in it, the more we live in it, the more it becomes alive and real in us, the more the power and the more the glory and the more the hope and the more the promise begins to work in our lives, and we get set free from the chains of this life, and the power of God begins to do works and begins to do powers and begins to manifest itself into us so that it might carry through the purpose of heaven. Amen? So when we look at this series and you think, man, Jay's just going on and on for weeks at a time about his glory or this and that and the other so he can put things out on Facebook or whatever. No. There was a whole lot more that went into it than a few Facebook posts. Amen? And I want you to understand, and I want you to know that we are in a place where we are called, ever so importantly, we are called to a place that we understand the glory of God and what it wants to do in our lives. We started in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, about midway through the chapter. We started the series, and we've kind of walked through that. We've jumped around to a couple other scriptures here and there. And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians this morning to bring it to a close. Because what was happening in Corinth, the church in Corinth, what was happening there was people were getting way ahead of God. Not only were they getting, they weren't really getting ahead of God. That's a poor choice of words. What was happening was they were getting full of themselves. They were getting full of themselves. The church had become about appearance. The church had become about individual gain. The church had become about individual glory and notoriety, and they had lost sight of the real purpose of the church, and they had lost sight of the glory of God. And so Paul begins to call them back to it. Paul starts to call them back and says, whoa, guys, this wasn't the idea. This isn't what I preached to you. This isn't what I taught you. This isn't how I told you to go about this. So Paul's now coming back to them and evaluating their body of work, not God's body of work, evaluating their body of work and saying, nope, not it. Right? Saying, nope, not it. Not what God intended, not what I intended, and you need to shape up. That's what Paul's basically saying to them. And so then he begins to walk them through instruction, and he begins to walk them through knowledge that will invite the power of God back into the church. And he starts off by saying, you got to get rid of appearance. Appearance means nothing. And some of you are saying, well, it makes sense. Why you stand up there and look the way you do some Sundays, right? Those of you who laugh first, yeah, now I know what you're thinking. No. I am real, okay? I don't try to put on airs and be something when I'm nothing up here, amen? So I do try to be as real as possible, but I never want to disrespect what God has called me to do either. So I will clarify that. But what I think we have to understand is when it talks about appearance, it's not just talking about how we dress. Amen? We can all put on our three-piece suit and our Sunday best, and we can look amazing. And we do. Everyone does look amazing this morning. Amen? We're doing family pictures. You all did well. You look really good and clean up nice and everything else like that. And the kids look just incredibly cute this morning and everything else, and that's all good. But when we live our lives, we can dress up our outside to no end. But it doesn't do away with what's on the inside. No matter how we change it, no matter how we look, no matter how we position ourselves, we still are what we are. We still are who we are. We still are what we do. And all of those those phrases that go with that. And so Paul is really challenging the church in Corinth to take note of what they've presented, how they've lived, what their appearance is versus what their heart is. And in order to get them to go through this thought process, he reintroduces them to the glory of God. And so that's what we've walked through these last 4 weeks, and what we'll conclude with today, God's will be done. Amen. Is re-challenging ourselves, or being re-challenged, to see God in His glory, to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory, and to make choices, sometimes tough choices. There's been some weeks during this series I've challenged you a little bit. Amen. And that's part of my job. Doesn't mean I don't love you any less. Amen. But it's part of my job. And in doing that, we come to a place where we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. And sometimes those choices are tough. Sometimes those choices are hard. And God understands that and knows that. But what God promises in all of that is that if we make the tough choice and we walk with Him, we live with Him, and we engross ourselves into who He is, He promises more than we can fathom. Promises way more than we can fathom. All that power, amen. When I was talking about that power a minute ago, y'all were amening, amen. Hands were going up. And we were smiling real big. We were getting excited about that, amen. That's what we get when we choose to walk with Jesus. That power and that glory and all of those promises, every promise in this book becomes ours when we choose to walk with Him. Amen? And that's why Paul saw it as so important to write this letter to the church in Corinthians, or Corinth, to say, dude, you got to get here. You got to get back here. You got to understand who He is and live for who He is. And then all of this becomes real in your life. You see, what happens a lot of times is we want it so bad. Listen to me. We want it so bad that we start making it happen on our own, in our flesh. Amen? In appearance. We start bringing ourselves to a place that we put on a show, and that's all we offer. All we offer is the show. No substance, no depth, no power, no glory. Paul says, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. You're missing the point. Take it back. Take it back. Make Jesus the point. Make Jesus the purpose. And all the power and all the glory will be yours. So that's where we are with this message. And we've talked about a lot of things. Amen. We all want to be saved. Amen. But I ask you, do you want to be delivered? Things in your life. Things in your mind, things in your heart, things in your closet, amen, that you kind of keep holding on to, amen. We want to be saved, right? We don't want to go to hell, but I'm just going to hang on to this stuff, Jesus. It's really not that bad. Will it really send me to hell? Probably not. So we hang on to it. We keep it as who we are and part of who we are, and we put an appearance over it, while all the while it's blocking us from His glory. All the while it's pushing away the glory of God, because the glory of God says, man, I'm not about that. I'm not going to live in that. I'm not going to dwell in that place. Amen? I might save you. I might redeem you. But I'm not going to dwell and bring power into you with that going on. So we want to be saved, but do we want to be delivered? Do we want to be drawn out of the ideas of this life and the ideas of this flesh? Amen? And so we come to a place that we have to make tough choices. Amen? We all want to go to heaven, right? We all want to go to heaven, but how many of us really want to live and walk in the kingdom of God? You see, Jesus may have left heaven to come to earth, but even John the Baptist, when he pronounced the presence of Jesus Christ, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen? What does that mean? It means nothing changed in who Jesus was based on where he was present. Amen? Because he brought the kingdom with him. He brought the power and he brought the glory with him. He walked and exuded God in everything that he said and everything that he did and in every action that he took. Amen? And just because he was here on earth doesn't mean that the kingdom of heaven was far away from him. It means that it became present with us. Amen? And by walking among us and with us and bringing that kingdom into our heart and into our mind, he gave us a way to live beyond the things of this life. He gave us a way of life that is beyond hope and beyond the promise of this world. Amen? And all he asks us to do is to walk with him. Amen? Receive him and walk with him. And in order to do that, amen, we got to want more than just the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And you say, well, now, Jay, you say that like it's a bad thing. No, man, trust me. Amen. We were at the birthday party the other day, and I wasn't going up to get anything to eat, and everyone kept saying, go eat, go eat, go eat. It's like, I'll go. And finally, I got challenged on it. And I said, dude, here's my logic. I go last or very close to last in every meal I'm part of down here. I do. If you watch me, you'll see. I purposely wait to the very end. And it's not so that I can get whatever I want and fill my plate and not feel bad about it. Right? I've got a deeper logic than that. Right? The Bible says that the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. Amen? So my logic, and I kind of hope God works this out. My logic is, if I'm always last here, I'm going to be first up there. Amen? I'm just saying. Amen? I'll let you eat all you want down here in front of me. But when I get up there, don't be stepping in front of me. Because I'm going to chow down. I'm going to chow down with Jesus. Amen? So that's kind of my thought process, man. And I say that, and that's kind of funny. That's kind of true. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of true. And that's this idea of having the kingdom of heaven real in our life. When we're willing to give up this world, and when we're willing to give up the things of this life for what Jesus promises, that's when we embrace the kingdom of heaven. And that is when we start walking in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? John announced it about Jesus Christ. Here's the kingdom of heaven. Here is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Here's how the kingdom of heaven lives. Here's how the kingdom of heaven thinks. Amen? And so what John is announcing to all of us, John the Baptist is announcing to all of us, as he's saying, is there is a way to live and think and breathe different than we are right here, and it's that. It's Jesus. Amen? And so he's introducing to us that there's a whole lot more to this thing than heaven. Amen? Don't get me wrong. Heaven, man, is going to be off the hook. The Bible says it hadn't even entered into our heart. What's in store up there? Amen? So I am not downplaying it at all. But what I am saying is, if we're not walking in it now, if we're not feeling it inside of us now, if it's not living in us and impassioning us now, then we're missing out. Amen? And maybe it should cause us to question our motives. It should cause us to question our motives and our desires and our priorities and so forth. So I challenged you with that a few weeks ago. Amen. That we all want the kingdom of heaven. We all want to go to heaven. But how many of us want the kingdom? Right? We want heaven. We want that mansion. We want a fish in the crystal sea. You know, we want all of these things that we've put to it. But how many of us want the kingdom inside of us and want to live with that? Right? And so again and again, we are challenged to this idea that Jesus is more than this life. Jesus is bigger than our problems and bigger than our situations and bigger than our thought process. Amen. I even shared with you some personal stuff about, you know, kind of my traditional ways and the way I was brought up and how I had a difficult time embracing, you know, some of the quote-unquote modernism of today. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I never embraced modernism. But what I did embrace is a God who is a whole lot bigger than I had ever been told that He was. Amen? And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we will box God up so much that He's nothing more than that tub sitting out in our garage. When we need Him, we go open the tub. Amen? Just like if we need to get something out. I got sent on a search yesterday for a wreath. I can't find my white wreath, Jay. Go find it. You want me to go out there in that and find a wreath, right? Guess what? I found the wreath. Okay? Found the wreath. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But the challenge to us is that sometimes God's that wreath, man. We put Him in a box, we throw Him in a place, and we put other stuff on top of Him. Amen. He gets shoved into the corner. He gets pushed further and further, 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 further back. And then we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we have stress. We wonder why our anxiety is all full and all overcoming us. And we wonder why all of our pain and struggle is so real and everything else like this. There is proof. There are scientific studies that prove that people who pray and believe that Jesus is involved in their life, amen, they are walking in the kingdom of heaven, good, bad, indifferent, they are walking with Jesus and believing He's involved in their life versus those who believe Jesus isn't present, who never pray, and everything else. There is a difference. A scientific study proved that there is difference in how their health plays out during these times and situations. Amen? So what that says to us is this. It doesn't mean that we're going to escape difficulties. Doesn't mean that we're going to escape stresses. Amen? Jesus Himself said, while you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Here's the difference. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What's He saying? He's like, you're going to have the stuff still come up. You're going to have the bad people still come up. You're still going to have the ugliness around you. Amen? But you're going to be so focused on Me. You're going to be so ingrained into what I'm doing. And you're going to walk so empowered by My presence. Amen? That, man, you're just going to walk through. You're just going to live through it. And my hope and my power and my love for you is going to reach levels that you can't fathom. But you've got to choose to live there. You've got to choose to walk there. You've got to choose to think that way. Amen? That's what Paul has brought us back to in these scriptures. That was the introduction. Now I'm going to get to today's message. Y'all looking at the clock, thinking, oh my goodness. This is the winder down, so we'll be all right. Amen. And if we're here till 3 o'clock, well, so be it. All right, so now everyone's really worried. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Only the glory of God can do that. Okay? Only the glory of God can do that. Doesn't change your look. Sorry about some of your looks, right? Doesn't change your looks, but it makes you a new creature. Okay? Old things are passed away, right? Meaning that we're moving that appearance lifestyle, that appearance mentality, we're moving that away from us, right? And then what does it say? All things become what? New. We think new. We live new. We breathe new. We walk new. Amen? There's another scripture that says that we live and we walk and we breathe in the newness of life. Amen. Another scripture tells us that we renew our minds daily. What does that mean? It means that we are choosing to move past this life and walk with Jesus in what He brings. Amen. And when we choose to do that, when that newness becomes part of us, then it doesn't take very long that we end up like the angels and we just have our own little hallelujah breakdown on the hillside. Amen? Because we sense and receive and feel and walk in that power. Amen? And the things that Satan does to beset us, the things that he does to weigh us down, the things that he tries to move upon us to defeat us, just ain't got the power. Just ain't got the power. Amen? Because we have chosen a big, big God to move in our life and do the things that only He can do. Amen? All things become new. And all things are of God. Amen? What did He just say a minute ago? He said, all things become new. And now He's talking about those same all things. Okay? Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, Jay, you're being kind of condescending here. No. No, what I'm saying is, I'm wanting you to put the two and twos together. Amen. He says that all things become new. And then he turns right around and he says that those same all things are of God. Amen. Which means that everything new that He brings comes from Him. It doesn't come from this world. It doesn't come from this life. It can't be defeated. It can't be forsaken. It can't be taken away from you because it walks and it breathes and it exists in the power of God. Amen. And when we choose to live our life just completely consumed by His power, there are things that can defeat this fleshly life, but they will never defeat our kingdom life. Amen? And that is why we are called to that place. Amen? Modern religion, its job is to make you feel good in this life. Amen? That's not the Word of God. The Word of God is everything about moving us from this life unto eternal life. Oh, you didn't hear me. Amen. Everything about this book is about taking us from this carnal life and moving us into eternal life, the kingdom of heaven. Moving us to a place to where we're not just saved and we just don't hang out because we've been saved, but amen, to the point and the place that we are delivered and we are empowered by our deliverer. Amen. That is the goal of this gospel. That is the goal of this book, all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God slew the sheep to clothe Adam and Eve with the sheepskin. It was all about His power and His glory moving upon man and redeeming us from the stinky stuff down here. Oh, we might be here till 3 o'clock today. I'm feeling good. Listen, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You want to feel power? You want to feel power? Read that verse again and again and again. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us? Who reconciled us? Did I do it? With good works, right? I gave my tithes, I gave my offerings. You should, okay? Not saying don't. Right? I'm not begging for money either. My father owns cattle of 1,000 hills. Amen. I don't worry about that stuff. He does. Amen. He did the redeeming. Who hath reconciled us to who? To who? To the authority over us? To the leaders over us? To this life? To this world? No. He reconciled us to Himself, right? How? Through Jesus Christ. Okay, now there's a whole lot of God in that verse and very little us. Amen? He reconciled us to Himself through His Son. There's a whole lot of power right there, friend. Right? And we have very little to do with it. But it's ours. It's ours through Him, through His reconciliatory process. That power becomes ours when we see it as He intended. Right? When we see it as an earthly gain, when we see it as earthly appearance and earthly recognition, when we see it from earthly authority, there's not a whole lot of power in that. Amen. But when we start seeing it from His throne, and we start seeing the fact that He chose, like I said, all the way back in Adam and Eve when He clothed them after the first sin, amen, from that moment forward, it has always been about Him redeeming us through His hand and not our own. Amen. That might be one of the most powerful phrases in Scripture there. He, Him, and Him again. Amen. All about Him. Through Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What's He saying? He's saying, I'm giving you so much of Me in that. I'm giving you so much of Me in this kingdom mentality that I'm going to now make you ministers of it. I'm now going to make you empowered to do what I did in you. Now we're talking about glory. Now we're talking about God's glory manifesting itself in man for kingdom work. Right? Whole lot of people getting rich down here using the Bible. I would not want to stand there one day. Amen? You're not called to get rich, sweetheart. You're called to minister reconciliation. You're called to walk in the kingdom. You're called to be the light of the world. You're called to show Jesus to whosoever will. Amen. You're to be Peter outside the gate and say, man, I ain't got a big wallet, but I got Jesus, and that's all you ever need, and I'll give it to you. Amen. That's what you're called to. Amen. And if you're not living up to it, that might be why you're struggling. Wow. Not really sure where that came from, but take it. Okay? We are called to a place that is so beyond our thinking. Okay? So beyond our thinking. And that's the point of His glory in this sermon series, is to take us to a place to where we see it and want it. And not just want it, but we scrape and we claw to walk in it and live in it every single day. Amen? And that's what Paul is bringing us to summary here. He says, to become ministers of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, okay, Paul's bringing us to summary. Paul says, I've told you all of this. I've chastised you, I've corrected you, I've taught you. So now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Friend, let me tell you what, when the power of God is alive and living in you, when the power of God is working itself into you and your being and what you're doing and into your life, and into the choices you make, and into the lifestyle that you choose to lead, and when instead of living a lifestyle that edifies the flesh and edifies this life, but it's a lifestyle that now brings the kingdom into your presence as you walk through your day, we can't help but point people to Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you're walking there, you're pointing people to Him whether you realize it or not. Amen? Why? Because His presence is all over you. And my Bible teaches me that the very demons of hell got to walk away. The very demons of hell and His presence in me have got to walk away. The Bible tells us of men who were so full of His presence and so full of His glory that they pulled cots into the street so that if just their shadow would fall upon them, people would be healed. Amen. So what I am introducing to you today isn't folklore. What I'm introducing you today isn't just a theory. What I'm introducing you today is the realization of what has already taken place and given proof to us through the Word of God happens when we choose to walk with Jesus. When we choose to let His glory be the main thing. Amen? And that's where we are. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's got to start. It's got to start by taking your stuff and giving it to Him. Because no matter how insignificant you make the stuff, it is always going to get in His way. Okay? Doesn't mean I'm up here preaching you into hell. But what it does mean is there is stuff in who you are and what you do and your desires and your hopes and your heart and your mind that Satan uses to keep a wall of perdition, as Scripture says it. Amen. It's also called enmity. It's something to keep you separated from the full power of God. Amen. And as long as that stuff is there, Satan is going to continue to keep the full power of God from your life. And so that's why we're called to make hard decisions. It's why we're called to have clean mouths. It's why we're called to live a clean life. It's why we're called to examine what we put in our bodies. Amen. It's why we're called to make tough choices and become less like the world. Amen. And we can argue, is it sin, is it not sin, blah, 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 till we're blue in the face and just downright stupid. Okay? But until we choose to see that it has nothing to do with right or wrong, it has everything to do with cleanliness, and it has everything to do with having a life that edifies and glorifies God, and His glory lives in us, that's when the decisions become easy. That's when the choices and the lifestyle becomes easy, when we are consumed with presenting ourselves a reasonable sacrifice. Amen? All right, last week I talked to you about that. That also coincides with worship. Our worship has everything to do with presenting ourselves to God worthy. Worthy. And we lose our stuff over, is this a sin or is this not a sin? Amen? I'm not talking about your salvation. That happens through the cross of Jesus Christ, through and by His blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. But your redemption, your reconciliation, your power, amen, comes when you choose to be delivered from the lifestyle and the mindset of this life. That's the difference. And so we're so over the top in our pulpits today that we can't preach that anymore. Amen? But that's the difference. That's why so many in the church today are struggling, because that truth isn't being presented. Because it's just not cool. Okay? Hey, listen, if you don't know me well enough to know by now, I gave up on cool a long time ago. Amen? It is not even a thought to me. I don't care. Amen? What I care about is the truth. And what I care about is seeing the power in you. Seeing the power work in you and live in you and take you to places you never dreamed possible. That's my heart. That's my goal. And I want it to be yours too. Then starting in chapter 6, it says, "We then, as workers together for Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Amen? Paul's kind of taking them back to the very beginning, saying, guys, you didn't have it right. You didn't have it right. And I've presented you a lot of truth, and I've presented you a lot of knowledge right here, because I want you to get it right. Because if you don't get it right, then everything you're claiming, everything you're living, everything you're creating an appearance of, is vain. It's vain. There's no glory in it. There's no power in it. There's no manifestation of my presence in it. It's vain.
speaks for itself. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, today is that day. Today is that moment. I don't care what you did, you know, at Bible school, you know, and when you and all your friends went up to an altar because you thought that's what was the cool thing to do because your friends were doing it and everything else like that. I applaud that. Amen. And I remember when my boys were little. I don't know what the deal was with our goldfish, but Luke always wanted to pray for our goldfish. I mean, I'm talking like every service. He was concerned about that poor fish's soul, I'm telling you. Man, it was crazy. He was always wanting to pray for the goldfish. And he would come up, and he would come up to the altar almost every single service at the end. And I'd go down. And as I'm going down, I'm thinking, man, we're going to light that goldfish on fire again. I can feel it. Amen. And I would go down. And I was like, what is it, buddy? What are you praying for? Dang, I'm just really worried about backup ball. That's what we call it. We had the big orange one, that, you know, those big orange ones with the big bulgy eyes and everything else. That one was basketball. And then we had the big black one with the big bulgy eyes. That one was football, right? And then we had the big striped one, the red and white striped, you know, the big goldfish with the big bulgy eyes, the red and white striped one. And I bet you can guess, that one was baseball. Yeah, those were our goldfish when Luke was little. I mean, Isaac was a baby, like baby, and everything else. Well, every single week, man, he wanted to pray for one or all of those goldfish and everything else. Well, someone in the church caught wind of it and came to me and said, I think you're really doing that boy an injustice, praying for those fish every week. I said, well, I'm glad you're not his father, because I want the power and the refuge of Jesus Christ to be alive in his mind and to be alive in his heart. Amen. Because there's going to come a day that he's going to come to this altar. There's going to come a day that he's going to kneel down at his bedside. There's going to come a day that he's going to pull over on the side of the road and call out to the name of Jesus. And it's not going to be about goldfish. Amen. It's going to be about the salvation of the Lord. It's going to be about the power. It's going to be about the glory. And I prophesy over him today that he will be a better man in the kingdom than I ever will. And the guy that came to me kind of did this number and walked away. Friend, this is a friendly place. This is a friendly place. It is a place emboldened by love. Emboldened by love. Not just consumed with love, but it's emboldened with love. What does that mean? It means there's power in the love that exists at this altar and any altar that claims the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we should never deny anyone the opportunity to come and receive its power. Whether it's goldfish, whether it's puppy dogs. I think we prayed for the puppy dog a few times too. Amen. Puppy dogs or whatever it is. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this. You say, well, how come you're telling us about Luke? What was the big story with Isaac? Well, I didn't have a big story with Isaac. Luke did. We're in our living room hanging a ceiling fan. Isaac's about 4 years old. Luke comes walking out, holding his brother by the hand. And he says, Dad, will you pray with us? I said, what's going on? You know, I had boys. I had all boys, man. They were constantly breaking or hurting something. So I'm thinking, man, what am I laying hands on, right? And they come walking out hand in hand and said, Dad, will you pray with us? And so I jumped down off the ladder. I'm like, what's going on? And everything else. And he says, Isaac wants to be saved. He said, I've been sharing with him about Jesus and the power of the cross, and he wants to accept Jesus into his life. So it transcended from me. It didn't even touch me, honey. It transcended from heaven, skipped me, jumped right into him and into his brother. And from that day forward, our home's been complete in Jesus Christ. So don't tell me this isn't real. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't tell me there's no power in it. And don't tell me that if you choose to walk it, that God won't honor it. Don't tell me. Because I am not even going to give it time to consider. Because I have seen it play out just as the Word says it will. Amen. I'm just going to stop there. Thank you, Lord. So it brings us all to a place where we are called to the glory of God. First to ourselves, and then to the world. And friend, if you haven't received the work of the cross, that doesn't make you bad. I'm not shaking a finger at you. I'm not judging you. Amen. I have nothing bad to say about you. More than anything, I'm glad you're here. I don't want to make you feel bad. I don't want to make you feel hurt or angry. I want you to know Jesus loves you. I want you to know that He is in a place right now where everything that I've preached, all the power, all the promises, all the glory that I have spoken about today, He wants to give to you. He wants to give it to you. He doesn't need me to do that. But He's using me to remind you and appeal to you of the work He wants to do in your life. He wants to do a work in you. He wants to empower you and overcome the things that hurt you, depress you, stress you, and tear you down. And so I'm inviting you, not to me, not to everything we try to do here and make look good. I'm inviting you to Him. I'm inviting you to Him, to Jesus. Amen? And I'm inviting you to receive His glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just as I read to you, it's by Him, for Him, reconciling us to Him, for Him, and through His Son. That's how it works. I'm just here to help you, man. I'm just here to help you. So as we bring this set of sermons to a close, I want you to understand that God has everything, and He's willing to give it to you. Somewhere along the way, you're probably going to have to give up on stuff that this world has a hold of you on. But trust me, when you give up that stuff for His stuff, it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen? I mean, trust me, I don't think any preacher has written a book about praying with their son about goldfish. But it ultimately led to my 4-year-old son getting saved and working and being involved in church his entire life. Amen? I'll take it. I'll trade that time and that moment for the result. Amen? And I want to walk together with you, with Jesus, so that you see the same results. This isn't about me. This isn't about pedestals. This isn't about name and lights. This is about you, every single one of you, walking with Jesus and seeing kingdom results in your life. if I'm up here with any other motive, I'm fake and I'm vain. I'm not pointing any finger, I'm telling you about me. If I have any other motive up here, I am fake and I'm vain. Scriptures I just read prove it. Amen? So this is about you, friend. This is about you. This is about you choosing the kingdom and walking with Jesus and us helping you do it. So as we stand, as Josie gets a song of invitation, I want you to consider where you are right now. Okay? This is where we all start feeling bad about ourselves. I'm not asking you to feel bad about yourselves, because trust me, I've stood where you're standing. I've stood right there. Right? I've been so far in the wages of sin that death sounded like a good thing. Okay? So I've been in messes. Right? I've also been in a place where I put the appearance on and I walked into the church and I played the part, but I was so far away from God, it wasn't funny. So even in a place and even in a time when I looked like everything was okay, I've stood there knowing everything wasn't okay. So this morning, I'm challenging you in all of that. To look past me, look past the stuff, and look past the things, and see the glory of God, who has no other desire than to bring you to Him. To bring you into His presence, and to surround you with a body of believers who walk in His power every day to help you. Friend, I don't want to do life together. I said this the other day, and some of you laughed at it, but it's true. I don't want to do life together. I want to do Jesus together. I want to do Jesus together. So what do you say? Would you come? Let's pray. And let's join hands, you and me, and decide to do life together in this place. Starting right now, would you come?